everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
Our first guest is a gentleman that I've known for many, many, many years. And a few weeks ago, we were in the back bar, and I looked at this gentleman, and I said to him, isn't it weird that we are the last one standing from our group? Like, there's not us and Don Barris from our group. That's weird, right?
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, that's weird. Like, you know, we... been a lot of years, though. I mean, you see people, you still see their headshots on the wall, but you don't see them around doing stand-up anymore, at least being able to make a living doing something they love to do. So that's kind of fascinating, you know. I was talking with our friend Tom Herrera, and we were discussing this, that he said how many, like, famous comedians, you know, or like guys that are working in A clubs. And I said, well, I guess between the two of us, we come up with 120 names that we both knew that were working or that are alive, that are still. And he goes, and then he broke it down. He goes, well, how many professional baseball players do you know? And I said, well, it's 32 teams, 25 man rosters, give or take. I said, that's 750 guys. I said, the NHL is a little less than that. The NBA is a little less than that. I mean, you know, the PGA Tour pretty much is about equivalent on par with stand up comedy. It's a very elite group to be a part of and work. And I never thought about it in those terms, but when you think about it like that, it's really something special that you're still able to do it. I think it's an amazing accomplishment to still be doing it after all.
Yeah, when you put it into sports terms, it really clears it up for me.
Yeah.
I think she's lying already.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce our second guest?
Oh, that's Jimmy Schubert.
Yes, Jimmy Schubert.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
To my left, he has played a cable man on TV. I know that because I saw it.
Oh my God, you so look like a cable guy.
now that you think about it, I think I saw you in a porno coming over. Which saw some
latest same thing. Yeah, same cable thing. Guy.
I think you're getting typecasted, bro.
At least I'm getting casted.
That's it. That's all that counts, right? As long as you get cast.
He is a regular stand-up comic here at the Comedy Store. You can see him here every weekend. Put your hands together for Matt Edgar.
Matt Edgar, ladies and gentlemen.
Do the audience members put their hands together when they're listening?
I hope so.
Do it now.
I can only pray. I've really been enjoying your comedy because I follow you a lot, or we're on late night spots, and you, my friend, can turn just the most tired, listless crowd around, and you have this like slow poke way where you do it, where, and then all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, a crowd that's like is like so excited and clapping.
They come to you. They come to you.
Yeah. Well, that's something you. I think that's Comedy Store 101.
Yeah, but that's Comedy Store training. Yeah, it's like, you know, these guys have been like Lucas and those guys and Josh have been doing late night spots here. It gives you such great training. So when you finally get one of those primo 8:30 spots, murder it. You're ready for it. But that's Mitzi's system here, though. That was kind of, and I love that they still honor that, even though she's no longer with us. They still honor that system, give people opportunities to create and get better and better.
I do the avails, and I know there's a lot of newer comics that are coming up, and they'll call in and request certain nights to go late night.
I know.
Because they're like, I want something I want to work on, so put me down late night for Tuesday and regular Wednesday.
Yeah. On that note, let's start our show. And by the way, we have a new on-air producer. Will you introduce him, Jessica?
Straight from Florida. He is a Gator. That's where I was born, so that's why we allow him. It's Austin Lane Walker.
Glad to be here. Try to represent the Florida as much as I can. So I'm going to take notes for us today. I'm going to keep you guys very honest at the end, so we'll really know who's lying by the time we get to the score.
Oh, my God. Him taking control just made my nipples hard. Jeez Louise. Now, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to ask our friends to tell some stories, and I think Jimmy should start first. You can tell the truth or the lie first. Just don't let us know, and it's your turn. Go.
Okay. Well, this took place in the 90s. It was like late 90s when I was opening for Sam Kinison. And we were working at the dunes. We were working at the dunes.
I'm not supposed to know the story.
Well, you wouldn't know the story.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever told this story before.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've heard some of those stories. I'm just saying.
No, this story involves me and me alone. It was a Saturday night. We had a show at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And I think they did like a 1 o'clock. Like it was like, and this was after like a 2 week run. They extended this a third week because
In Vegas.
This was in Vegas, and this is many years ago. I mean, Sam's been dead. There'll be 26 years this year, or 27 years this year. So that's how long ago it was. And I was a kid. I had a long red hair. I look like
long hair.
Oh yeah, I look like
he had a mullet. He had the red.
I look like Daryl Hall. I look like Daryl Hall.
Except different.
And I had a Except different. Yeah. I had a 32 inch waist and I was out there doing those shows. And so we had like four. Yeah, I had these
rock. I'm surprised you didn't masturbate to yourself constantly. Yeah.
Thank you, Felicia. Well, sometimes I did.
Constantly.
You know, women couldn't keep their feet off me back then.
Their feet.
Anyway. So what happened was, so we do these shows, and this thing. So I do the 7 o'clock show, and a bunch of people came back to meet Sam, and there was this girl there, and this, that, and the other thing, and she got very aggressive with me, and we went up to my room, and we had sex.
Wait a minute, what's this? Is another thing? What do you mean?
Well, she got a very like
she
wanted,
was just flirty. How did
she
flirt?
She was flirting with me, and then all of a sudden we kind of went out.
Because we love this at all.
Yeah. We went out there. I think we went to the bar and got a drink, and then literally she took me up to my room. And she had to get the fuck out of there because she had a sitter. So we had sex. She left. Boom. She's pretty hot. I was like, wow, that was great. She left and didn't even hang out. I was like, wow, that was amazing.
Did you get her phone number?
No. Then we did the 9 o'clock show.
What did, so you,
well, there was no Facebook. There was none of that stuff. All right.
What are you
asking a lot of questions, Jesse.
Yeah, we're allowed to ask questions. Yeah. Okay, but my question is the way you said it, and she took me up to my room.
What I was saying is, I didn't realize she had a babysitter. She had to get she was there to see the show, and she needed to get out of there, which was why she was like being a little aggressive. I didn't realize till later. She goes, I got to get home. I have a babysitter. I said, oh, okay. Then she got dressed and left. And for a guy, yeah, okay, great. No, you know, she went about her business. I got dressed, went downstairs, and got ready for the 9 o'clock show. We do the 9 o'clock show. Another group of people come for the 9 o'clock show. I met a girl at that show. We also wound up getting a drink, wound up going out, and had sex, and then
where, in your room?
Yeah, my room.
She took you up to your room again?
No,
drug you up to your room? That
no,
is?
I took her up to my room.
Oh,
she was pretty
you
hot.
Took her up to your
yeah,
room.
I already emptied the man batter out once. So
the musket,
the flesh musket. Yeah. I dropped a little toddler juice, and there was no urgency this time. Although I thought she was hot, and so we went up to my room, and we had sex. Again, this time I got to take a quick shower. I got down, came down, got ready for the 11 o'clock show, and same thing, believe it or not.
No.
Yeah, swear to God. By the time the night finished, now this is at the end of 3 weeks, you have to realize we've been going to the Olympic Gardens. There was a lot of freaking.
And that is a strip club.
And that is a strip club. But what I was going with when Sam Kinison was there and they tie off the back room and these people would come out and you're making money and you're tipping and Billy Idol was there and it was like, it was a big thing. And so after the 11 o'clock show, the same thing happened with another woman and we made Man Passionate Love. And then we had the night, I go back to my room. And about 3 o'clock, I hear a knock on my door, and it was one of the strippers from the Olympic Garden who's standing there literally in a trench coat with nothing but lingerie on. And I open the door, and she pulls the coat open. And I'm going, wow. Now, she was smoking hot.
She's like, is Sam here?
Yeah.
This is the features room?
Yeah.
My bad.
That's what you wanted. Oh, where do you tell your story?
Feature.
Okay.
He was the opener.
So what
happened?
Is, yeah. Bring it in. So, all right. No, but so I opened the door and I wound up fucking this girl for 2 hours because I couldn't, because I had a powder woody. From the booger sugar. And I had already blown my nut like 3 times.
No, you're noodle fucking.
So I'm no. This was 26 years ago. I had that rock hard fucking powder woody. And she was like, and I finally came, and she goes, oh my God, you always last that long? Yeah. When I have 3 girls before you, I always last that long.
You said that to her?
No.
Okay. I thought it.
No, I didn't say it.
Okay, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
How are the sets?
Sets were phenomenal.
Oh, I bet. You weren't at all fatigued?
Right, dude. I was relaxed. I was nice and loose as a goose,
now,
bro.
Hold on. I think you were going to give us the total tally. So after 3 weeks.
No, so after 3 weeks we did shows, but the one night.
Uh-huh. You didn't have like a grand total, so after 3 weeks after being on
I'm talking about this one night.
Which is crazier.
It was one night on a Saturday night that we were, and then we were held over. We weren't supposed to beat her, but this Saturday night, I wound up making love to 4 women.
Oh, now it's making love?
Well, we with a fucking
something. Powder dick. Hey, it's making love with a powder dick.
With a powder woody.
It's not making love with a powder dick.
I was fucking, baby.
The first two were making love. Right. And then he is just fucking after that.
Yeah, then I'm just fucking after that. And so over the course from about 7 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning, over the course of that 12-hour time span, I had fucked four different women.
God. Did you use a condom?
No, I had my penis laminated. Sure, you lose a little sensitivity, but what the hell? You know?
You didn't use it. You didn't use it.
Of course, I used a condom. What are you fucking kidding me?
Really?
I don't think so.
Why would I not use a condom? It's fucking Vegas. It was the fucking.
Because I remember how you were at the age of 26. You were all over the place. Busted. You weren't a very organized person. You weren't riding a motorcycle. You were being crazy. And they then all of a sudden you're going to be fucking responsible and put a condom on the fourth chick?
That's just pure logic, man.
Why would I used a condom for all four.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you have them or did they bring them?
It has nothing to do with that. I don't want to get a phone call like, you know, we have a little surprise for you. Yeah. I never wanted to do that.
You're like, wait, which one are you?
Well, let me ask you a question. It was more about that, about wearing a condom was more about that. Mm-hmm. And even still with a condom on, I would always kind of pull out and finish outside because you never know if the condom would rip. It was more about getting them pregnant than it was worried about me getting a fucking disease. So, yeah, I wore condoms with all of them.
And you pulled out.
And I pulled out. Yeah. I don't fucking trust anybody. That's where I roll. That's how you roll. You go, you know, because I was making one with one woman. She goes, what are we going to call the baby? What are we going to call the baby? I pull out. I pull off the condom. I tied it in. I said, fuck him. If he gets out of here, we'll call him Houdini. All right? Hey!
Now, did you do magic back then?
Yeah, well, I've done magic.
That seems like that's a magic trick altogether.
I know, right? Yeah.
Now you see it. Now you don't. Now you see it. That's close-up magic, all right. Hey.
Four girls, huh, Jimmy? One night.
Wow.
Over the course of 12 hours, yeah.
It's interesting.
Why? You're looking at me like you want to smell my finger. Here, have a whack at it. Okay.
You know what's funny is I know that because you've told me a story before where it was kind of crazy. You did it on that when we filmed at the Venus Fair. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Or North Hollywood. Yeah.
I was crazy.
Yeah. That were in that time period of Sam Kinison where you guys did craziness and you shared a story. It's slightly different than this story.
Yes.
So, but I love when you get flustered. You're so fucking awesome when you get all hopped up. And I just want to tell a quick story.
Okay.
So we're in the back bar a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy just did, and by the way, congratulations, his first night at the comedy, the Magic Castle. Yeah. As a magician, because Jimmy, growing up, wanted to always be a magician, and he was very into magic tricks as a kid, right?
That's how you got into comedy. it was like a thing I did. I actually did it professionally when I was like 13, 14, 15. I retired the wand and stuff when I got up 18 and went full into
style. You retired the wand?
Shut up! No, but thing, but it was one of those things where I like, you know, you always have these like unlived lives where you go back and you go, wow, what happened if I would have pursued that? And so it just became a full-blown hobby. It was something to do on the road because you spend a lot of time by yourself, and it's not a lonely existence, but it's certainly a solitary existence. I mean, you know, and you know, guys do other things. Chris Porter plays guitar and sings. I mean, you bring your guitar with you, or whatever the deal is. Some guys bring a drum pad, some guys drum or play music. And not for me, it was magic as a hobby. Just
what's your thing?
Sit-down showers.
Fair enough.
I get a nice hotel.
Dude, that's phenomenal. Sometimes I don't mind a sit down shower.
Oh, dude, that's all I do on the road.
Really?
Yeah, man.
You just get lost in there and meditate.
What else am I gonna do? Yeah, I'm not using my water.
No, it's great. That's phenomenal.
So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we're in the back bar. Jimmy comes from doing his first gig at the Magic Castle, and he's with a magician or two. And
yeah,
his
my buddy Zach Waldman, and we're sitting back there with some other friends.
And then Jimmy's like, I just was at the Magic Castle, however one would do Jimmy Schubert, but I think that's kind of close, right?
It's right on point. I love how people turn me into a mere caricature of myself.
Oh, you are, man. Everybody does it.
I'm like a fucking human cartoon.
That's two generations of chicken. It's my favorite. Me and Hitchcliffe used to always do that.
So then he's like, you know, I can do magic tricks. You want to see a magic trick? And I'm like, all right, okay. You want me to see the magic trick?
I didn't do that. She, you were fucking setting me up.
I was not. So anyway, I'm back there enjoying my gin and Tanqueray is all I was doing, my Tanqueray tonic. So anyway, so we're in the back, and he breaks out some cards, and he starts shuffling them with those fucking hamburger hands of his, right? You got some big-ass hands. One card, meat hooks.
Yeah, you picked a card. She picked a card first.
A card fell out. Oh,
yeah, but
I picked
a card first. And I'm shuffling her card in the deck. One card drops. I put the deck on the counter. I bend over to get my card. She steals the top card.
I take that top card. I'm just like, just in case.
Turns out her card was the top card.
I just took a shot, right?
Yeah, she just took a shot, and she fucked over Majid. She fucked me over.
So he keeps going, is this the card? And then his friend sees me do it, and I turn to his friend, and I'm like, shh, right? And then and he goes, is this the card? I'm like, no, Jimmy, that's not the card. Is this the card? No, Jimmy, that's not. Is this the card, right? Then I finally take the card out of my pocket. He's like, you fucking bitch! Like,
and people ask me why I do angry magic. That's why. Because you can't trust people.
You shouldn't have revealed your trick.
What? No, I had to. His friend saw me do it. And yeah.
No, that's funnier for
flustered.
Him, though. The friend, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, that sucks me into it. Because the friend's got to be sick of watching.
Well, by the way,
magic.
I told the people at the Magic Castle what happened, and she's been put on a list. Okay. She's not allowed to go to the Magic Castle. She's been put on a list of somebody who's going to.
Yeah, I've been there three times. I'm not worried about it. Okay.
Yeah, but you promised to take me.
Oh, yeah, I got to take it. Will you get us into the Magic Castle?
Let me think about it. Actually, I could get you in. Okay. Yeah, let me think about it. I haven't made my decision. See how the rest of the podcast goes. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's a good, strong story. Do you have any feelings about that story, Jessica? Anything you want to
ask? I mean, I'm
him?
Sure that he was a tramp back in the day. I have no,
I love that.
No doubt at all that you were. I can see it in your eyes.
That I was a tramp back in the day.
Oh yeah,
I can't fucking help it. I was younger. I was fairly fucking attractive. I had a skinny waist. I was hilarious. I mean, what was not to like? I had a big dick and a lot of personality. So there, what do you fucking want from me?
And I do magic. What else do you want?
I can't keep the women off me.
Took the wand out of retirement.
One night only. Taking the wand out of. I ain't bringing the wand off the wall. Blowing the dust off it. Abracadabra. That's actually what they call the girls who sleep with magicians at the Magic Castle. They call them abracadabras.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. That's their chuckle fucker.
Yeah, yeah. Like at the comedy store, they're called chuckle fuckers. At the Magic Castle, they're called abracadabras.
Right.
There's a couple of abracadabras upstairs.
Are there any women magicians there?
Yeah, there's plenty of women magicians and phenomenal women magicians.
Right. Do they have abracadabras too?
Well, they would have, yeah. Abracadabros. Abracadabros.
All right. Good one.
Nice.
I do have, I want to just dive deep a little more into it. So like with the condoms, did you already have those? Did they bring them? Did you have to go and get some?
No, I wear them across my chest like Mexican gun belts.
For real though.
No, for real. I always travel with condoms on the road.
Just a bunch
and
of
my
foil
thing
packages.
is, it's funny because I always would go, I'd rather have condoms and not need them than need them and not have them.
All right, Matt, your turn. Try your best.
I almost got expelled, like seriously, from school for taking a picture of my English teacher peeing.
You took a picture of him fucking squirting in the urinal and then posted it?
Yeah.
Why?
On the morning announcements that came on the school today.
It wasn't like a disposable camera?
So,
it was a digital camera?
So I was in this multimedia class where we do the morning announcements. Did you ever do that? You ever like a morning?
I knew people that did.
Right? You totally did.
Executive producer.
Yep. And you get, well, it's cool because every week they switch off who does like which job. So nobody has like the straight job all the way through. So sometimes. Well, yeah.
Maybe if there's not a guy like me in the class.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just dudes that needed a class, you know. And if you get to do the intros, which it's like you basically like you make a what's it called when you do like it's like a montage of just different pictures and you pick a song and you edit it around the thing. Yeah, it's like a slideshow.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it would start every Wednesday's morning announcements. And when you get this spot, you take the camera, and for that period, you walk around.
Everybody was watching morning announcements on TVs in the classrooms.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
The school called Los Alamitos High.
Wow. They had TVs in the classroom. That
Los Alamitos is a very well-to-do area. That's where they keep a lot of very wealthy people live down there, so it was a high-end school.
We only had so many TVs, and you had to check it out from the library. Your teacher did.
Nah, man. We had everything there. Everything.
Fuck. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was a well-to-do school.
Yeah, at Los Alamitos. That's where they keep the. Isn't that where a lot of the spy stuff is done down there? And that.
In Los Alamitos, they have a Navy base they have nukes there.
Yeah, well, they do high-end kind of spying stuff. There was a couple spy cases. A guy out of Los Alamitos was trading secrets, and I know that. But that's right. There's right top secret stuff. So it's a well-to-do neighborhood. Obviously. Yeah, and they do have nukes. How many other neighborhoods have nukes?
Yeah, serious, man.
Very important. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very that was very anxious growing up there because that was always a thing that you could attack it. It's a vulnerable town. But we'd walk around during that period with the camera that you basically, you just take pictures of like stuff from the school, and I was just taking pictures of like my friends. I would like text them like, "Yo, come out, let's get some pictures," and like put on the morning announcements. I think I picked like a old Fall Out Boy song or something.
How old are you?
I'm 33 right now. This is in 04.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You were in high school then?
Yeah, man. Why?
I guess I graduated. I'm about to be 35. I graduated in 02.
Oh, no.
You must have been one of the first kids to have a phone and to be able to text.
Yeah, man. I remember when that happened. I had a Nokia. Uh-huh. Like, that was like the first wave of kids getting phones.
Did you ever Google your homework assignments? It's cut and paste, right?
Yeah, now. Yeah. No, I saw to do work, man. I was like the last of that. Like, we had to figure that we had to go to the library and shit.
Nice.
Yeah. But, I knew the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. Yeah. I did too. Actually, when people asked me how to do a magic trick, I would go 793.8. And I go, "You can find all your answers there." And they go, "What the fuck is that?" I go, "That's the Dewey Decimal System for where they keep all the magic books in the library." That's the truth.
See, I've heard of that. I don't know what that is, though.
Well, Dewey Decimal was a guy who came up with the ranking system for how they keep the books in the library.
Oh, no shit.
Cliff Clavin.
No. Okay. But was his last name really Decimal?
Yeah, that's what I
Dewey Decimal. That's why I said the Dewey Decimal System. His last name is Decimal.
Yeah, that's not what a decimal is.
No, there's always a point, like 793 decimal.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. It was his name wasn't
so
decimal.
So it didn't have to be decimal.
I doubt it.
Why don't you Google it after we get done?
It's fucking Dewey's
It was called the Dewey Decimal System.
It's Dewey's. It's Dewey.
Keep Dewey. Poking the bear. Poke him more, Jessica. All right, so
you can Google it when we get done. You'll find out I'm right. His name was Decimal. He came up with the Dewey Decimal System to keep track of the books in the library.
So where did Dewey come from?
That was his first name, Dewey. Dewey.
His first name was Duber.
And in the urban areas, they would call him Dewey Decimal. Dewey Decimal. No, it was Dewey Decimal. Dewey was his first name. Decimal was his last name.
Decimal
and the system is the thing he came up with. Put it together, Jessica.
No, I hear you. I think maybe his first name was Dewey.
Am I lying or am I telling the truth about Dewey Decimal? Well, that was my second story.
I don't think you're lying. That's the lie.
All right, so you're taking pictures.
So I see my English teacher walking into the bathroom, and I'm just like, "Oh, this is fucking gold!" Like,
were
he's
you
in
using
the bathroom.
A film camera or digital?
Just no digital? Yeah, man, because you upload it straight to the computer.
Now, so did you get a good picture, or was he just standing with the urinal?
Bro, nailed it, and he had no idea he's at the urinal, and it's just a shot. He didn't even see me come in, which is crazy, because like, anytime you're pissing,
somebody
comes in.
Would you go over his shoulder like that? Would you come
no, in? So it was like a shot, like It was like side from the other side of the bathroom. So like it was one of those things where you'd zoom in a little bit, but like you could see a fucking shaft and pee coming out of his dick.
How old do you think? I'm not old, but how long do you think his penis was? How large?
Man, I would say it was a good soft. It was like a good 4 to 5 inches soft. It was kind of meaty.
And they didn't have those.
So I could see it, you know?
The guy was hung like a tuna can. What he lacked in length, he had a circumference.
Yeah, he had a tuna can dick.
So you're saying there was no side? There was no, you know how there's dividers between the urinals? There was none of those?
Nope, no, man.
No dividers.
Like, it was the long kind that like
go all the way down. That's one of my favorite things to do, by the way, when you're in a public restroom and they got those dividers.
Take pictures of people?
No. No, when you're in the restroom and they have those dividers next to the urinals and like midway, some guy's standing next to you peeing and he just bang on them and go, "Don't you hate these things?" You know, just as a group. All the guys being you just bang on the divider. "Don't you hate these things?" Like you can't get a look at the guy's
That's kind of that's actually really funny though.
No, it is funny.
I mean, why, it's not like we need this.
Yeah, because you you don't have a penis. Yeah. You want, no, it's not like you did. But so, it's,
do you think the guy that invented the urinal was called like Ben Urinal? Do you think that's?
Well, I think
Urinal was his first name.
That's a good question. His name
Stahl was last name.
His name was Stahl. Urinal Stahl. Yeah,
that's you can look it up. I swear to God, you
check
can
it
look
out.
It up.
Google it. No, you'll find him. I'm right about the Dewey Decimal. All right, I had to do a whole report on him when I was in grade school. You'll know that I'm telling the truth.
Okay, so then you were taking pictures.
So I take it and I get it,
camera.
And I'm like, I couldn't. It was one shot, and I could not believe how well I nailed it. So I'm like, oh, this is gonna fucking kill. Like, this is going to kill. Next week, it's going to be so. And the plan was, I'm going to chop it up. And, like, you know how, like, in Fight Club where they where, like, they show, like, I think it's Brad Pitt's character. Like, he does, like, this thing. He works at a movie theater, and he'll slice up the actual reel.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he'll put, like, porn, like, some kind of porn in there. But it's really quick. Uh-huh. So, like, your brain doesn't quite register it. But there is kind of, like, did I just see a dick? Like, no, no. And you kind of brush it off.
But they used to do that in the old, like, here I go. They used to do that in old, like a Dr. Pepper commercial, like when we were kids, and they would have, like, Can-Can girls. They would do, like, these commercial where everyone was dancing in a Dr. Pepper commercial, and then they would stop the camera. I saw this on, like, some kind of thing, and one of the girls didn't have underwear on. They would do, like, subliminal fast things where you're like, I want some Dr. Pepper!
Yeah, yeah. We're puss.
Yeah, I'm a puss. No. She's a pepper. You're a pepper. Yeah. Don't you like to be a pepper too?
Here's Dr. my pepper. Pussy.
Yeah, right. Let's get some Dr. Pepper.
I don't know why. I'm having a craving for Dr. Pepper right now. I just want to. Yeah. So that's.
But yeah. So then he. Okay. So like I go and I have to edit the video and I do it and I sneak it in there and it's really cool, man. Like it actually works. And I told people. Like I told, which probably was
the wrong thing. To
yeah.
Do, but
well,
you wanted,
I told the right
you wanted
people
them to be looking out for it.
Yeah. Like my close homies need to know, that, or else this is not worth it. You know what I mean?
Right,
like why would
right.
I put myself on the line? So enough people knew and they were so excited. But I have to cut it up, and before you air it, the teacher has to watch it. So the teacher had to watch basically the thing, and I had to see if they caught it.
Uh-huh.
So like, I had a buddy in the class that I let in on it. The one guy I let in on it in the class. Like I had friends scattered throughout the school, but
right.
in that class was one
okay.
guy whose good friend I could trust.
Okay.
So he was like all about it. And the plan was the class watches it together while the teacher's watching it. So I told him like, you know, at this minute, at which whatever minute mark it was, like, you know, like cough or like do something, you know,
uh-huh.
like. And so he did. And like, so it came in and it's coming. I know when it's coming. And then like it flashes and he coughs and like, and then keeps going. I'm thinking, yes. And she's like, pause that. And she's like, all right, rewind it. And I rewind it a little bit more. Rewind it too much. Okay, fast forward a little bit. Stop. And then there it is, clear as day, zoomed in. The class loses it. Like, I kill a little bit earlier than I wanted to, you know? Like, it worked. I got the laughs I needed to hear.
Uh-huh.
But the imagination of this was, like, the whole school, you know, eventually catching it. At
uh-huh.
least, like, a lot of people. And then, so she's, you know, now I'm in huge trouble. Because it's not even about, you know, the stupid prank I pulled. Like, I just took a picture of my teacher's dick.
Right.
So now we're going to get cops involved.
And like, now he posted it online, and now he has to register as a sex offender.
So they threw sex offender in my face all the time, man. They threw it. So finally, like, no, I'll delete it. She's like, all right, you better delete it. So I delete it, and then I put it back. Because, like, she, my thing
are
is.
Are you serious?
I deleted it, and she watched it, and then it was just, like, one of those things where I asked my buddy Chris, who I told this to. I was like, yo, man. Like, I could probably put it back in, right? Because it seemed like I wasn't going to get in trouble. It seemed like all I had to do was delete it. So he's like, I mean, technically, but you really want to... I was like, I already told too many people, man. Like, it was like too many, like, I didn't want to let anybody down. I don't want to let my fans down, you know?
So then you put it back in. And
so I put it back in, and she didn't have to watch that version of it. So then it's out. It's ready to be, you know, next Wednesday, it's going to happen. So, you know, the weekend happens. I tell everybody and tell them, like, when in the song it's going to come, you know. And so I'm in a different class come that Wednesday morning. They show it first period. And so I'm in, like, I think, like, some history class. And there's a few guys that know that this is coming. So
I'm like, yo, there's a few guys.
There's a few guys, man. And I'm just saying, like, it's one of those, like, this is going to be – I love, like, sleepover laughs. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're sleeping over and dad's asleep, you know, when you're a kid and, like, right. you don't want to wake, you don't want to laugh loud, it's harder to... It's hard to not laugh.
Right.
Because you're
right.
like, there's like a weird pressure. So, like, I was kind of going, I was giddy, you know, like, ooh, you know, here it comes. And then it plays, and, you know, here comes the part. It happens. And it, mind you, most of the class is unaware, but there's a few people. So when it happens, there's like scattered through the class, there's like, like exactly what right. I needed for right. them. So I'm like, right. and I just, it felt so good. Video, I get through the whole, morning announcement plays, and then they wheel the TV out, and then like the teacher starts, and then on the loudspeaker, Matt Edgar, please report to the principal's office. And I get there, and first of all, and the reason why it took the whole class, because I was surprised it took that long for the I walk in, there's my dad. Just looking like, you know, I just left work for this shit. And on the table of my principal's and on the desk, a giant blown up, like they actually printed it out and blew it up.
Wait a minute, what kind of printer did they have? Because
good question. It was black and white.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a, you know,
was it the
yeah man, it was like, yeah, it was loud, you know.
So they froze it, they printed the image, your dad's sitting there in the principal's office, and you're getting ready to get expelled.
And this is not, yeah, man. And it's like, they're talking sex offender. They're saying things like, you know, cops. And actually, the principal was a former cop who still, like.
Was the teacher there that you took the picture
of? So, like, he's teaching a class. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So when he gets word of it.
Did they pull him out?
No, they didn't. So, like, eventually they did, though. So, like, that happened.
Yeah, they should get sex offender charges for printing out his dick
right.
and putting it out before they told him.
Well, so, but this literally happens while he's in class.
You've also violated his civil rights by taking a picture of his dick, man. And putting
it's
out.
It's fucking
right, but then on top of that, they printed it.
Yeah, it's, yeah, there's
and
that.
And blew it
Easy
up.
Cliff Clavin.
This is 2004. Nothing like this has happened. So they don't know how to even deal with this. They just know it is like it falls under the guise of, you know, sexual predator.
Well, that's right? what happens with those new laws now because of all the digital technology and the people revenge porn
yeah.
and all that stuff. That is a violation.
Huge. So big time.
If they're not, I mean, only if they're famous, you know, that can you then release it as because they're it's kind of a considered. You know, they're already famous.
Right. Like, but this guy, Mr. Doran, dude, and I will always give this guy props, man, because he's my English teacher. I actually had a class with him that day. So by the time I have the class, the word's already spread. I think I go home that day. But I think the next day or the next couple of days, whenever they let me back in school, word had already gotten around and everybody knew that this thing, you know, and I'm still waiting.
Was he cool about it?
So this is how cool he was. So not only did he not press charges or anything like that, he ran with it, man. When I came into class, he on his way to school, he stopped by a 7-Eleven, bought like a Porsche, a magazine that just all these expensive Porsches. He's like, I'm just trying to see what do I want to get with this settlement here. And he's just like really playing into the fact that he's going to
really?
Sue me, and the class is loving it, and they're and he's being funny about it. Like he not only gets it.
So when you went to the class, that's what he was.
It was
doing.
A joke,
right?
And
right.
he was so chill. That's why they didn't press charges. Like, no, man, no. That's kind of funny that he was able to pull that off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, and not to mention we're gonna go ruin some kid's life because as far as pranks go, that was a harmless.
I was
fucking prank. The dude got his dick got some publicity.
I was gonna say,
he got some meat.
It
dude.
Must have been true that he. Had a pretty sizable dick, or he would have.
He had no problem with it.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
The guy definitely wasn't hung like a button on a fur coat. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It was worth like.
Easy Cliff Clavin. Easy Cliff, Mrs. Cliff Clavin. Easy.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, and I'm taking it all the way back to you said there were TVs in the room.
Yeah.
So they actually rolled in TVs into all the separate classrooms and after announcement rolled them back out.
So every classroom had a TV and it was on a like kind of like a gurney, I don't know what you'd call it, but
yeah, it was strapped
down. You would when I say you roll it in, I mean like you roll it to the back to the side of the room.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, it
so
was
they're all
there were double decker. They were like double.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
were double decker, and it had like a little so you
right.
slide
right.
in the
and
corner
you
when you had
VCR
to watch stuff.
Yep.
Underneath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they had all the equipment on. So, but you would then leave it back in the corner.
Yeah.
Like he said.
But I also have other questions because about your digital camera.
Yeah.
That's pretty early for a school that
I didn't. I don't think I had a digital camera until I was in the Air Force.
My school had it.
That's 02.
Yeah, but he was in low
03.
Look at my school had a surf class. My school had like actually the football team was really established football team.
So it was a very well-to-do school.
Can I just say we were a brand new school with the TV production class that I was in, and we shot on tape up until my sophomore year, which was 2010.
Shit. Nah, man, we had all the shit by then.
Wow. Did you have any questions about his story, Jimmy?
No. I actually, it makes all makes sense to me.
Okay.
Both of our stories are kind of sexual.
Yeah, like, but I was just
yours
curious.
Is way cooler.
I was just curious why. Yeah, he was in the vision. You know, I remember one night I jerked off 4 times in a row. I was part of the audiovisual group. No.
You leave, you leave Austin alone.
No, but it was...
4 is a low number.
Hey, easy, Cliff Clavin. No, but it seems
who
like...
Who is Cliff Clavin?
Like, you got to ask that fucking question.
Yeah, you keep saying Cliff Clavin.
You know who Cliff Clavin
she
is,
she called
Matt.
Me Cliff Clavin.
You don't either? You nope. don't, Austin?
Oh, Jesus.
We're old.
Who the fuck is Cliff Clavin?
There was a little show called Cheers. And Cliff Clavin was the fucking mailman who knew a little bit about everything.
Okay.
And she was calling me Cliff Clavin. Here's the thing about that. The guy was a fucking drunk that sat at a bar and would know a little bit about everything.
Right.
But he was a fucking alcoholic. Where everybody knows your name. And the guy's a fucking drunk. So, hey, what's up, everybody? Right.
Okay, so anyway, do you have any questions, Jessica?
Well, I was a little concerned about the digital camera, like you said, but I'm thinking because I know when I first got into the Air Force, I bought a digital camera, and granted, it wasn't great,
no,
was slower, and you know, all of that didn't hold that many pictures, but that would have been 03, 04, so I think that time frame works out.
Yeah,
I worked at a digital capture firm in around 2004, 2005, and so.
What is a digital capture firm?
A digital capture firm is like, so now when they go shoot photography on a set, right, they're using digital cameras, but they're shooting at, you know, at such a high
resolution
that they would tether to the computer instead of putting a back, you know, a card.
So it downloads into a hard drive.
So it downloads right to the computer. And then so I worked at this place. It was called Image Mechanics in Santa Monica. So that's why I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around 2003, 2004.
Yeah. And it wasn't like an SD card thing either. We actually had to plug it in to the computer with a plug.
The camera had a hard drive on it itself, so there was no
All right, you've answered my question. All right. So all right, let's go to your second story.
All right, second story. I'm gonna tag off of his high school story.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a high school story during the eighth grade.
Oh, we're going way back.
Yeah, why not? So you guys check. I ran for president of student council.
In eighth grade?
In eighth grade, yeah. Okay. Because it was a part of our thing to get involved with politics. And so I was running against two other guys, Chucky Kensel and John O'Malley. And I wound up winning and become president. I was president of student council in the eighth grade for about 3 months. I eventually resigned because there was really nothing to do. It was just like some kind of bullshit thing, but I did run for president of student council. We had debates, we had the whole thing, and so I was president of student council in eighth grade for about 3 months before I hung up. But I had posters everywhere in school and won the presidency, and then of course resigned under a veil of
a Watergate scandal.
It was a little, it was a touchy feely scandal.
And Monica Lewinsky.
I had a Monica Lewinsky situation.
Before it was cool.
Yeah, I got me too before it was cool. Exactly right. Well, no, because there was just nothing to do. I mean, it was really just kind of like there was a cat. They weren't going to let you do anything. They weren't going to let you change anything. One of the things I ran on was changing the color of the money because everybody had their money over in like overseas bank accounts. So I thought, well, fuck, if we change the color of money, they got to bring all that money back. We could tax it.
Change
like
the money. You're, as a student president, body president, you thought you could change the color of the United States money?
It was an exercise
money?
In political like stuff. Like, what would you do if you were actually president? Oh. None of that, guys. We were running for president of the school, and we'd talk about that. And, you know, of course, I took some heat for that. About me, you and your red, white, and blue money. What are you going to do? I go, well, you know, a lot of people. But, my dad helped me with a lot of this stuff. I mean, he was in eighth grade. He was trying to run for president. Me and my buddy would make posters and have them all over. And so I was president of student council in the eighth grade.
So that's it. That's your story.
That's my story.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go into detail?
I mean, is that how you learned about Dewey Decimal?
That's exactly how we learned about politics in America, was that we would run for political office.
And you're saying your dad helped you come up with the idea that as an eighth grade student body president, you could change the color of money to red, white, and blue.
Well, he was talking about the fact that we have a lot of people that have all this money in overseas bank accounts. They have them in the Cayman Islands. They have them in Switzerland. And if you change the color of the money, then eventually what would happen is those people would have to take those money out of those accounts, bring it back into America, you could or change.
Oh, because back then it wasn't all electric. They actually had like boxes of money.
Exactly. Gotcha. And so what you could do is they would have to come in, take the money out of those accounts, change it in for the new money. You would get an accurate account. You could tax it properly, and then they could put their money back into the the Cayman Islands.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's like Alex Jones. I mean, it's like, how did the Cayman Islands get into it?
There you go. Some bullshit. What kind of story is that? You actually ran on that platform of the eighth grade?
Yeah, I did.
That you were going to change the color of money of the United States of America? What kind of crazy ass story is that?
Well, because I wasn't, you know, your typical fucking eighth grader. Number one, I wanted to like push the boundaries. Number one, I was very sexually advanced. I was finger painting with my tongue in kindergarten. The teacher fucking liked some of my artwork. I mean, I wasn't like that. That was it. I read.
Did you have to do a speech?
Yeah, I had to do a speech. They had votes. They had the whole thing. It was it was a real.
Now, because you went in a landslide. I'm sorry.
I ran in a landslide.
Because I, too, ran for assistant secretary in middle school, and I had to do a speech. It was right during the O.J. Simpson trial, so I ended it with, if you don't object, you must elect Jessica Wellington.
Nice. Did you win?
I fucking got a standing ovation. It was good.
Yeah.
Felt glorious.
Wow.
Glorious.
But I didn't have real issues. I was just like, I'm fucking cool. Vote for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they made us come up with the issues. I mean, I had a really active, like, when I grew up with like six brothers, so we were always like, the thing about growing up with a big family, you're always out doing your own thing. You're trying to find your own identity, so you don't have like what they call litter syndrome, where everybody, like, you know, like if you raise puppies or like from the same litter, they get like fucking, they just hang out with each other. They don't even try or whatever it is.
Oh,
so
God.
Everybody was trying. Like, you know, my brother played.
You know, you're familiar with puppy raising. Yes.
What's that? Cliff
your Craven. Analogies are ridiculous.
Why? Are
I think your brothers beat on your head too much, and you came up with that fucking scheme, changing the color of money as an eighth grade president.
No, it could have been something that he heard his dad like complaining about.
There was actually some validity to it. There was actually some validity to it.
I see what he's saying. I get what you're saying.
You really see?
I really do.
Yeah,
what
okay.
is
so
he saying?
Because they literally had money in like safety deposit boxes. It wasn't just an account.
And not only that, there was a lot of.
Let me ask you this: what was your platform in eighth grade? What was the big thing you were going to do if you got elected?
I didn't have a thing. I was saying. Yeah.
Treasury. She was running for the treasury.
We didn't have a big thing. I just wanted to do the speech. I don't even remember if I did anything after that.
I was class president 3 out of my 4 years in high school, and eighth grade year I ran on the platform of you might end up like Chris Farley living in a van down by the river if you don't vote for me. So I can attest to that. I don't think there was any real like stance that you had to take, you know, if you run for a class council.
Well, it was really an exercise in the history of the country and how well you understood politics. And also, when you're running against these other guys that were pretty popular, you had to like push boundaries and come up with stuff that made you stood out in the group. I mean, I had bottle cap posters all over
the
fucking.
Go for it!
But everybody,
we had
like butcher paper with bottle caps and fucking blue glitter. Vote for Shoup. He's no Rube.
But
you know all the stuff. I'm selling my fucking. We would make these.
By the way, that's the true story. Establish that right now.
There we go. Okay.
All right. So
can't believe for a second I thought you got laid 4 times in one night.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. I was just thinking. So if we're saying that this story is a lie, then the first story is he got 4 ladies in one night.
You know, I got him in bed. I convinced them to change the color of their money.
Yeah.
I convinced them to change their money to red, white, and blue money. I'm just
kidding. Shoup, he's no Rube.
Vote for Shoup, he's no Rube. Come on, vote for Shoup. It was my.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right, so your second story.
Sorry. Me and Tony Hinchcliffe got arrested in Texas.
I love it. Continue.
At a Whataburger.
Even better.
This is
that a real thing? Whataburgers?
Yes. Yeah, delicious.
Yeah, yeah. Are you fucking serious?
They had a Whataburger in Lakeland.
You don't know who Cliff Clavin is? You don't know Whataburger's real? Do some research, girl.
Well, Whataburger, though. I don't know how you go on the road.
How do you not know?
Aren't I've there, never been to a Whataburger. In Florida?
There was one in
there's Whataburgers
but they're just along. Yeah, man, it's something you do. It's just how they're out there, especially you're driving for long enough, you'll find a Whataburger.
And they're late night, so you can get them like 24 hours. You know, Cracker Barrel is another kind of road staple.
Yeah, I know Cracker Barrel. Waffle House. I worked at the Waffle House.
Yeah, fuck the Waffle House. I want a home-cooked meal. I'm going to Cracker Barrel. It's a little, yeah, it's right now. We got something. What's with that look? You want a smothered chopped dice cutter?
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you guys are at a Whataburger. Sorry, I'm trying to control here.
This is after. So, okay. Just so you know, me and Tony are, this is, God, man, we might have been doing stand-up for three, four years. We're featuring for Steve Trevino, and we're in his hometown of Portland, Texas, which is like South Texas. And we did a gig in Corpus Christi, and now we are headed to his family has like property up in Portland, which is like just like a couple towns over. Stop at a Whataburger. Mind you, we had a ride for the night. Trevino's friend that came with us was the mayor of the city, Portland, Texas, and he's sober and we're shit-faced. Uh-huh. We had did a show and then we hung after, and me, Steve, and Tony are fucking on one. And I don't know where Steve is. I think he's outside smoking a cigarette, and me and Tony are in line, and we start arguing, and it's stupid. It's like a drunken, dumb... I remember what it was about, too. He said I was a cock blocker. And I'm like, I've never cock blocked you. And then just kind of escalated. And
Tony said you were a cock blocker?
I was a cock blocker. I mean, nobody's ever said that to me. Like, what the... I think I told him what kind of turned it into a... Like, we ended up getting in a fight.
This is pre-Tony, pre-fancy shoe Tony. And...
Yeah, man. This is like, he's still washing off Ohio. He's still washing off Youngstown. This is like... Yeah, man. Like, he doesn't... And he goes, and I said something like, no, man, you just can't get laid, and you're blaming me, you know? And then it's like, oh, I can't get laid, like, and then it just kind of got, I don't know, we just started, like, you know, swelling up to each other, man. And we were drunk, and it was all fun and games, man. And we're
big.
In line at a Whataburger.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, behind us sitting down is a cop waiting for his food.
That you guys are unaware of.
Completely unaware of, man.
He's sitting there.
And he's sitting there, and we're just kind of like, and I remember Tony said something to me, and I was like, in a place in my head where I was like, we have a whole drive home back, that we drove to Texas.
Okay.
We have to drive back. We'll be able to like amends me punching him in his face somewhere along the next 12-hour ride.
Right.
I could punch him right now, and we could get in a fight. And then sometime tomorrow, we'll be chill and laugh about this in L.A. So I'm literally getting ready. I think that's what got the cops' attention is my feet are changing, like my footing. Like, I'm getting ready to just start going, man. I'm just drunk enough. And he's being loud. Like, I wasn't loud at first. He raised his voice, so kind of cross. We're both crossing lines, you know what I mean? Like, I'll cross one, then he'll cross one. Uh-huh. And it's coming all the way to the fisticuffs. So finally... As I'm swelling up, I'm getting ready to cock it. This out of nowhere, man, this cop who had been there the whole time is like, all right, both of you back off. And he like kind of pushes me. And Tony doesn't make the read that, like, he kind of looks like a security guard. Like, maybe this is like Whataburger security, 24 hours in the middle of Texas.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
It would make sense, right? So Tony starts mouthing off to him as if he's a security guard.
Oh, no.
And then Tony kind of is also looking out for me, like, you know, you're gonna punch him, and he's like, no, we're friends. Like, he said something like that to the cop. Uh-huh. So that motivated me to stick up for Tony. Mind you, I can't stress it enough how drunk we all were. It was stupid.
Okay.
So he pushes us off of each other, and I think I say something else, and finally he's like, if you're just gonna keep it up, I'm gonna take you to jail. Like, Tony goes, you can't take us to jail, you fat, like, whatever, man. Like, just like start insulting him, thinking security, what are you gonna do?
Right?
And they, you know, bust out the handcuffs. We're going to jail. Like, he's starting, no, we're going. I'm a cop. And he has his ID. And we're like, oh, fuck, dude. We're just talking shit to a cop. Steve comes in. You go, whoa, what's going on? He's like, I'm arresting your friends. He's like, why? Like, they're fighting. They're talking shit. No. And he's like trying to stop it. There's just too much. We said too much mean shit to this guy.
Yeah.
He's taking us in to teach us Cali boys a lesson, right?
Right.
So we go to the jail. Steve's gone now. Who was like this guy is like looking out for us. We have zero road experience, really. Like, he's kind of like the veteran showing us how to do shit. Now he's gone, and we don't know. We're in Texas. We're being booked. We go to a cell, and we sit in there. It's fucking the same thing you always hear about jail cells, how fucking cold it is. You don't even know.
Cold and disgusting.
It smells like urine.
Fucking sandwiches in the fucking toilet, flies, bugs, insects.
And there's some real fucking psychopaths in there, man. Oh, yeah. And we're just among them, dude. And we're like kind of coming down from being drunk, you know, so it's like it's not fun anymore. And we end up spending the night there. And then like early in the morning, Steve comes and picks us up. Like, I guess, like, without telling us, they contacted Steve. It's like, hey, man, you could pick up your friends. And they came. And just to put us through it more, they wouldn't tell us. So, like, I think I was, like, kind of dozing off when they, like, all right, you guys could go. And there's Steve. And we're going. And we're driving back to, like, literally straight from the jail to California. And we get a few miles down the road. Steve's pissed, man, because, like, he kind of got into it with the cop, too, and wanted to, like, he's like, I'm from here, man. And like, this is the mayor of Portland. Because the mayor was trying to talk to the cop. But I guess we were just out of range, like out of his jurisdiction. So there's nothing the mayor could even do. So we're driving. So he calls this police station. And he's like, hey, man. And he actually knew the sheriff of this where we got arrested. So he's talking to the sheriff. And he's like, hey, man, what happened to my friends? And he's like, well, and this is like as Texas as it gets. And he's on speakerphone now. And this is like, we're in the back seat, kind of shamed. And I don't know why. Steve like made us both sit in the back seat
because you were used to it from the cop car.
Yeah, exactly. There's like nobody up front. He's like, no, you guys get in the back. And like, we had to sit
you
back
guys
there.
Are gonna be criminals, sit in the back.
So we're driving down the road, and he's talking to the chief, and he's like, and Steve's like, all right, well, what did you hear? And this Steve's like, well, apparently a couple of faggots got in a fight at a Whataburger. Like, literally, used like a couple of faggots got in a fight at a Whataburger, and then we just die. Steve's just dying. Everybody's laughing. The cop, you can hear the sheriff laughing because he just caught himself saying that, you know. And it's like this thing where we get home and Steve had to, so basically I guess like when we were leaving, like Steve like kind of like got mad and like punched a window and like cracked the window on the way out,
right?
And the cop didn't, yeah, but the cop didn't see this, Steven, but he had to come back and like pay for that. He had to come back another time and go through because they wanted to press charges at him.
Right.
The only way they're going to accept it is if he showed up in person to give him money. So he had to drive like a week later, had to make the ride alone without us and go pay this Whataburger for broken glass and shit.
All right. Now you got me. Yeah, but I'm going to believe the second story over the first.
Well, all right.
I'm going to tell you, he's a good storyteller.
Yeah, he is.
Because
yeah.
Really? Both of them had such detail in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know how to lie, too, man. I know where to put the fucking
yeah, his girlfriend
detail.
Really appreciates that as well.
You know, here's my problem with that story is that Johnny Hardwick was on the podcast and he told a real story about getting arrested in Austin, Texas for busking.
What's that?
A street performer.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. And he got arrested and he got stuck in the system. And so it went bad. So when you're telling me that you're in South Texas and that you two, Tony Hinchcliffe in particular, is mouthing off to a cop that you guys were released. Then a few hours later,
spent the rest of the night.
They didn't actually fight.
Well, first off, it's happened to me. They release you first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it was more of a drunken thing.
On
like,
your own conscience. And they put you in a drunk tank till you sober up, and then they release you first thing in the morning.
There was a comic that just got a DUI in San Diego, and she did 12 hours and was released.
Yeah, but that's
San
Diego. I'm saying Texas
is more.
Yeah, LA comic that got a DUI in San Diego. Yeah, it's tough, though. Yeah. You can't. It's.
Did you want to say something, Austin?
No, I'm a little confused about when did the cops say there was two gay guys?
This is on the drive. So this is after we got picked up from jail, driving back to California.
Couple of faggots got in a fight at the Whataburger.
Steve calls the sheriff that he knows, and the sheriff is telling the story of apparently a couple of faggots got in a fight at a Whataburger.
Okay. I gotcha.
And has no idea we're on speakerphone, just dying.
I totally believe that story.
This is a really good time just to say to everybody who's watching.
Oh, you forgot.
I know. The stories and positions taken on this podcast are not and should not be reflected upon the Comedy Store, okay? So that's all I got to say.
Some of these stories are true, and some of these stories are false. And the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Actually, I haven't changed the names at all.
Do we want to let Austin do our recap?
Yeah, so do you
want
to recap all stories real quickly, Austin?
Sure, yeah. So first for Jimmy, we have after a two-week run with Sam Kendison in Vegas, Jimmy was 26, had a mullet, and a 32-inch waist. There was a girl that went up to his room, and she had to bang and leave because she had a babysitter at home. There was no Facebook, Jessica. Emptied the man batter out of the flesh musket with another girl between shows.
This is new, having this. Yeah. That's great. This is great. This is just the guy to do this.
So, long and short of it. Not to repeat, but emptied the man batter out of the flesh musket with another girl between shows. And then it happened again with an Olympic Garden stripper who flashed him out of a trench coat at the front door.
That was the last outfit she had on working the shift all day.
Yes, correct.
He was noodle dicked because
I wasn't noodle dicked. I had a powder Woody. Difference between noodle dick and powder Woody. Powder Woody, rock hard, fucking noodle dick, you can't fuck, all right? So, okay. Difference between.
Is it powder Woody?
Powder Woody from the booger sugar. Yeah, fucking that 32-inch waist, your cock gets rock hard, and you just fucking gut sausages.
That makes sense. Okay. So,
sausage wallets.
So, redacted noodle dick, he was powder Woody.
Thank you.
Or powder
Get
Woody.
Get the facts straight.
Because he'd been through so much wild poon over the evening.
That's great.
This particular Saturday night, he wound up passionately making sweet love to women with his powder Woody. And he did, in fact, wrap up, supposedly, and pulled out with the whole condom on. So Jessica had concerns about where were the condoms from. Jimmy said he has them handy all the time. And do you have kids? No, he does not, as far as he knows.
Okay, all right.
Story two for Jimmy here, much shorter.
Yes, I have concerns about that.
Yeah, eighth grade high school. He ran, which was eighth grade high school in
no eighth grade. Eighth grade was eighth grade right before you went to high school.
Oh, well, you
where said, the fuck you go to school?
Oh, good
you said
point,
high school.
Austin.
I was just
good
you know.
Good point.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. I was president of the eighth grade in.
So, okay, that makes sense.
You just got mommed again.
Okay, so continue.
Ran
for
president, student council, eighth grade. He said high school, it didn't mean high school. He ran against Chucky Council was the name that I heard, and John O'Malley. Seemed like really made up names to
that
me.
That does,
I'm not,
doesn't
I'm
it?
Not yeah. making
oh, old O'Malley.
Oh shit. Oh no.
He resigned
look,
after
he can't lie, look.
He resigned after 3 months because there was not shit to do. And he ran on changing the color of money because it was like a mob stance. He had to have one.
Wow. I've become a better storyteller. Matt Edgar School of Storytelling. And I'll just brush up my stories.
So
a little
he
bit.
Gave a speech. That was shortly after he finger painted with his tongue in kindergarten. And vote for Shub, he's no Rube.
That's right. Bravo!
Yes.
Bravo. So that's, do we want to go with
yes, what
his
is,
notes
what,
as well?
Yeah, what
yes.
is Matt's story?
Cool. Okay. Matt's, in high school, Matt got kicked out of two classes, nearly expelled for sneakily photographing his male teacher peeing. No dividers between the urinals, so he saw the shaft of the actual penis. Probably 4 to 5 inches hung and meaty.
Soft!
Soft, yeah, I should have added that. He aired that on the morning news show at school, and he couldn't wait to vaguely show the dick. He told his close homies to be on the lookout for the dick. Now, this is 2004. He's 33 now. Used to text his buddies to come hang in the hall. He told his buddy to cough when it happened in another class, and his teacher paused it and said, the joke killed, but he was in trouble, obviously, because the teacher was like, pause, there's the dick. So she told him delete it. He didn't delete it. He put it back in there. So next class, he's in there. And, oh, by the way, they've been throwing sex offender in his face all the time. Like, they're calling him, you're a sex offender, pervert, freak. And then it plays a second time. He's in history class. He got some chuckles, some little hee-hees, which is really more what he wanted because he knows that's, like, rippling throughout the school. And then got called to the office where his dad and a giant dick pic of his teacher was waiting for him.
A black and white dick pic.
Yeah. Not that the dick was black and white, but that the picture itself was black and white.
And No, go ahead with the recap. I guess
just two more sentences on the first story there. Mr. Dorn was this English teacher's name, and he ended up making a joke about it, so there was no charges pressed, and he was no longer a sex offender by law.
Okay, and a second story?
The second story, Matt and Tony Hinchcliffe got arrested in Texas at a Whataburger while featuring for Steve Trevino in Portland, Texas. The mayor came to hang with them, and they were fucked up. Tony got mad because Matt's a cock block, and this was
pre- I'm not.
And this was pre-fancy shoe Tony. Like, this is not fancy shoe Tony, because he's still washing the Ohio off, as Matt said. So Matt said, you just can't get laid. You're blaming me. And that's when things got a little more heated, and it went from like 0 to 100 in a second. And little did they know, there's a cop sitting right there behind them, like waiting for his food. They don't even know it. And they're both crossing lines with each other, heading to fisticuffs, I believe was the word Matt used.
Good usage of that old school word.
Yeah.
And yet you didn't know who Cliff Clavin was.
Nope. Well, they were getting ready to go straight to fisticuffs. And cops break him up, pushes Matt and Tony start like mouthing off to the cop, insulting him, saying, you little fat ass, you can't say nothing to me, you're a security guard, you ain't no cop.
Oh, see, I missed that.
Yeah, so, well, he started to say fat, he like, you know, stopped.
I'm trying to remember what we said, but we did offend his weight and how he looked and stupid stuff.
From a fat guy. That's,
like, they treated him like a heckler on a Friday night.
As drunk as we were, that's the best we could do. It was not good.
Unnecessary, man. Okay. Totally unnecessary. Totally. So Steve picks him up, makes him sit in the back seat like Miss Daisy. He calls the Portland sheriff guy that he knows, Portland, Texas, not Oregon, and the Portland sheriff guy says, hey, we have some fags redacted, some gay folks at the Whataburger about to fight, and that got a big chuckle at all the
fags
out of the
redacted.
Room.
We can go with phallically dependent on this one. A couple phallically dependent individuals pushing each other.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Wow.
That was
okay.
Jeez.
So,
totally summed it up nicely.
That was great, man. Good job, you. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, see, now I'm curious, too, whenever you did the dick pic, there would have been, I think you would have had some gasps throughout the whole school. Wouldn't you have heard that? Instead of not just little laughs, you would have been like, wouldn't you, like the whole school, like,
This was pre-dick pic, by the way. So, this was early dick pic.
But also, my friends are the only ones I told, and I don't want it to get out beyond them, because then
I'll get
in trouble.
Yeah, but you don't think other people saw it?
So I'm sure other people might, but it was like the point was to flash it so you'd be like, what? Like, those other people.
That's my question. Okay, when you flash it the first time, like for how long did it flash?
Oh, God, a second? Maybe not even a full second?
So I don't understand if you did it the second time that you didn't think maybe I should shave a little bit.
Put it in a different place.
Yeah.
I think I might have, but the point is that you still, if you didn't know, it would just be like that Fight Club scene where it was just like, you know, you'll brush it off.
Right.
So the people that knows, they know that also not to get their boy in trouble. So they're doing, that's why I brought up the sleepover dad laugh, because it's like you're trying to not laugh.
Right. And
so rather than a gasp, it's more of a...
Here's my other question. So can you, how was it, like a kneecap to head kind of picture? Like,
oh, full frame, yeah.
It was, so it was from feet to his
head. All the way up, yeah.
Yeah.
And
by flashing quickly on a picture of from someone from their feet to their head,
yeah,
you in that second see the penis.
You know what? I think if you it, know what no, I mean?
Really
no.
Not, you just see him at a urinal.
Right.
Oh, so.
So I saw the.
With a stream of urine.
Yeah, but you probably don't even see that.
But so I know that.
Quickly.
I know that because I zoomed in.
Right.
I zoomed in to make sure I got it.
It wasn't from the head to the toe.
No, the full picture.
The story's coming apart at the same.
The picture that I posted. The picture I posted was the original, not zoomed in. It was this.
Okay.
On my own time, I zoomed in to make sure I got, just to know I got it. And also, when they printed it out and I got the full, like, they blew up this picture, and it's the whole picture. It's not zoomed in. In that, you could clear as day see his dick with pee coming out of the hole.
Nice.
What angle is this? What angle is the
picture? This is
if you're side angle, man.
If you're peeing and there's a guy peeing over here, you're looking like this.
So can you walk me into this bathroom? Like,
yeah.
Like,
two entrances. So you could go. So I see him go in one, and I follow actually right behind. No, you know what? I think, wow, man, I just remembered this little detail. When he walked in one, I wanted to give him time and not seem like I followed him. So I actually walked around and came through the other entrance. So it kind of was like, like, I just really wanted to be secretive.
And he didn't hear when the shutter went off?
That's
when
I
the
knew,
shutter went off
no,
to
there was
the camera?
No,
he didn't hear?
No,
his urine was so loud it drowned out the shutter of the camera?
I don't think there was a shutter noise. It was digital. You could turn that off. You just press it.
No, dude.
There's no shutter.
No,
dude.
Hey,
dude,
mind
story's
you.
Story's coming apart at the seams,
no,
bro.
Mind you. I mean,
you was a good storyteller. Now to cross-examination.
No, I don't think you need a shutter.
Well, now, can we let some people in on a little insight from what happened just before the show started?
Sure, sure.
So Matt Edgar had said out plainly, out loud, oh, man, I forgot to bring my lie. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'll just steal somebody else's story.
Oh, yeah.
Now, was that a ploy to, like, make us think that the Tony Hinchcliffe one wasn't true when it was? Or
know, yeah,
that's interesting. So you think I actually planted this lie before the show?
Yeah.
You actually are giving me so much more credit. You're making me out to be, like, a real good, like, psychopath liar.
Maybe he told the true story first because he hadn't thought of his lie, right? And then when Jimmy did his story, he was thinking about
it.
And the Steve Trevino story is true, but it may be other comics than Tony Hinchcliffe.
But what if the second story is true? It's completely true, but he wanted to throw us off. So once he sat down, he automatically went, oh, no, I better switch it around then because they know.
Well. Okay.
I could see why I would think that.
When do we weigh in?
We're going to take a vote right now on his stories. What do you think? Which story do you think is true?
I think the second story is true.
Okay.
The arrested story. I want to say that the second story is true too, but it really messes me up that
there
you
wasn't
guys
like
got
a
in and out of jail like that so
no,
quick.
No, they let you go. I'm telling you.
Texas.
Second story. Stay on your own recognizance, you're a grown man. So I don't give a fuck. I mean, they let you go.
They deal with, you got to.
They're overfilled.
They deal with a lot of drunks in Texas, man. They know that they turn the drunks over. All I was drunk. I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't assault the cop. We didn't assault each other. It became about we insulted the cop.
Yeah. Which is why they went to jail.
So, like, what can I get you on?
To teach you a lesson.
Oh, you're drunk in public right now.
Yeah. And I totally believe Steve Trevino would know the mayor. I also believe that he would call and try
to
get them
out.
All
right, I'm going to vote with Jimmy. I say the second story is true.
Yeah, I think Steve Trevino wouldn't let you sit there. You know, some guys would have let you stay in jail, but Steve Trevino went and got you guys. As soon as he could, yeah. All so right. I believe that. I believe that story.
What do you think, Austin?
I got to side with you guys on the second story, and I was just kind of going forensically. The first story, you were way more shaky. Now, I noticed you have like a little bit of a shaky hand as it is, but the first one, you seemed a little bit more shaky. Like
you don't think it could be me dusting off the cobwebs of talking on a podcast? This is the first story. This is the first time I'm telling the story. The second time I tell a story, it's way more smooth. If you've had multiple sets in a night, the first one's not as smooth all the time the second one.
I just have a tough time believing you were taking a picture of the teacher's fucking dick.
I didn't get in trouble.
I have a tough time.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a tough time.
It's kind of unbelievable.
That
part is unbelievable that I didn't get in that much trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how to turn the shutter off of my own digital camera.
By the way, the camera did not look like that, guys. It was a little early.
It actually had one of those square things in it. One of those floppies in it. You had to push it aside.
Yep.
And it wrote the pictures on the side.
So you actually, rather than look in it, it had a screen that you push out this way.
Right.
And so... Which I don't even, now looking back, I don't even know what that would do. But the screen comes out over here, so the camera looks like a camera with a screen that sticks out to the side. Just giving you a little extra detail.
Right. I'm going to stick with, I want to say that first story is a lie. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say that first story is a lie and the Lee Steve Trevino story is the truth. Jessica?
I'm going to say, I think just to go to opposite now, even though I convinced you the other way. I'm going to say that the first story is true, that you took the dick pic, and the second one is a lie.
Okay.
And what is it?
The first story is true. The second story, there's seeds of truth, but Trevino got arrested, not me and Tony.
Because Steve was drunk.
We all were drunk. Steve, when the fight started, the cop came to us. Steve tried to break the cop off of us fighting, and so got in a fight with a cop. So he went to jail. We had to spend the night with some random mayor.
That's
random mayor.
Some random mayor. Yeah. All right, man. You changed the details, but there was some accuracy. See, that I could believe. That story where you changed the details slightly. Very well done.
You know the biggest thing that I almost unconvinced myself about was I couldn't have pictured Tony Hinchcliffe getting arrested by messing with a cop. Like, maybe drugs.
We're kids, man. No, we're 23 totally, years old, yeah, you know? Like,
I could totally see Tony getting arrested for running his mouth.
Tony has a fro at the time. It's a different guy.
Yeah, I could totally see him, mouthing off. Especially drunk. I mean, but it was Trevino who got locked up.
All right, so we're going to move over. Very good job, though, Matt. Excellent job. Bravo. I agree. So we're moving over.
By the way, I felt so bad once I started line. Like, I was like, I started adding details, and I was like, God, I'm a fucking psycho.
Well, you know what's funny? Your hand did start shaking at the end of that story.
Sure, man. I was going off the rails, man.
Yeah.
He really did say the thing about faggots fighting in a Whataburger. That was a real laugh.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
All right. So, Jimmy's story, the first one was about having sex with four chicks as an opener for Sam Kinison. We heard all the lurid details. And the second story was about running for 8th grade class president.
And a little fact is that we only heard about three of the four girls.
No, there was another one.
Yeah. I mean, after like another one after the 11 o'clock show went down. The other one was just out of the blue. Where I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's like 3:30 in the morning, and there's a knock on the door.
He said that,
and I was like, "Oh, okay, shit." Yeah. And then sure enough, with the trench coat with the freaking lingerie.
Because I was thinking things are funny in threes, and here he is doing a fourth one. Yeah. So, what do you think, Matt? Which story do you think is true? His second story being the 8th grade class president and wanting to change the color.
I just gotta go with the first story. There's so much detail. It's a longer story. I don't think he could lie that long.
Apparently he can.
I think it was the first was the truth, man. The eighth grade thing. I mean, it's funny. That's... You know what gets me on that is the slogan. What was the?
Vote for Shoe, he's no Rube.
Oh, yeah,
I
man.
Think he was
that's like
sweating
pretty
over
good.
Trying to figure out what to rhyme his name.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Yep. Because I was too. I was gonna do something like that as a joke.
So we could have had
the same mindset.
And when we were talking about it before, he I don't think he can lie. I think you're a terrible liar, Jimmy Schubert. I think
Well, you should tell that to my ex-girlfriend.
I think the 8th grade story is not true. What about you, Austin?
Yeah, same. Not convinced on the 8th grade story because of the platform of the colored money. Uh-huh. And like you said, when I said the two weird names, Council and Thomas O'Malley, the Alley Cat, you were kind of like, oh.
They're like players from some hockey team that he knew of.
You know what? If the first story was true, I think there'd be a lot more details about all the women. And the only details we really got about the women was the stripper.
First off, just so you know, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and you don't retain that kind of detail. It's a debaucherous night.
Yeah, we're doing booger sugar. We're drinking. I'm doing the pump and dump. You know,
I'm going to ask you never to fucking say booger sugar in front of me ever again. All right, four fucking times you said booger sugar. Make it stop, Jimmy. Put it back down.
What's your name? What's your sign? Where you from? Hi, what's your name? What's your sign? Where you from? Hi, what's
your... Jesus Christ.
So I think the first story is
Bolivia
Marcher
better? You think the first story is not true?
Mm-mm. I think you did run for class president, and you probably did hear your dad complaining about the color money, and he had some weird plan, and you stole his plan, I think.
Wow, that's a different take.
Yeah. Okay, is that your take on it?
Yeah, because I can see a dad complaining about something like that.
So you say the second story.
Hold on. But now, I'm saying the first story is true because I've heard him tell a similar story about being very decadent with Kinison during that time.
Okay. So decadent?
Decadent, yeah.
Debaucherous and decadent.
Yeah.
Did you know him then, Felicia?
Who, Jimmy?
Yeah.
all the way back.
Was this before your accident?
No, it was after my accident.
It was after your accident. Okay,
All right. I'm sure you slept with many women. Not that night.
Well, I think he did sleep with that many women. I think it's burned into his memory, and he revisits that memory every time he masturbates. That's what I think.
It's definitely like all those women, but like it's like the movie Big Fish. It's like there's some truth. Right. It's like all those women.
Cineplex.
It was like different nights.
Yeah. Okay.
So is that what you're thinking?
No. I think it's true, man.
Okay. What do you think?
I think the first one's true. Yeah.
The first one. The first story is true.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was totally, it just.
We're all shocked.
Yeah. I ran for president. I didn't win, but yeah. I did have the changing
That's
of the
what
money
I thought.
Was
yep.
the thing that fucking sucked my campaign. Sucked my campaign.
I get it.
I didn't win, but I did run under that thing. But my dad was helping me with all these different stories.
It sounded like a dad thing to do, change the color.
Yeah,
of
but I didn't win. But the other thing, the story was true, and it just really happened. It was like, I mean, it was just one of those things because we were there for 3 weeks, created such tremendous stuff. So I mean, and the shows were selling out, and we had a freaking strip club every freaking like it was every night, and it was crazy, and it was insane, and so. That's what happened. That. So that was one of the best nights of my life. Clearly,
So.
Because it doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. Not when I had a 32-inch waist.
Took the wand out of retirement one night only, if one I may reference only. A Matt Edgar quote.
All right. So, Jessica, who do you think was the best liar today?
I honestly think Matt was the better liar.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
I can't fucking lie for shit.
Matt added just so much detail to both stories that it was a little psycho.
You gotta watch it, man, because you can't add too much detail.
Yeah.
The over detail.
You had enough.
Yeah, you had just enough.
Just enough.
Wow. Yeah, you convinced
me. Well,
you pulled
a lot of truth, though. I felt like I was cheating because there was a lot of truth.
Well,
there
was. Yeah, but it wasn't.
But the meat of the story was not true.
You weren't allowed to do that. Still, you changed the story.
Now we have had people come on, and I get so mad at them because they wouldn't change the meat of the story. They would just be like, oh well, it didn't happen in American Apparel, it happened in
American
Eagle.
That's cheating the podcast,
right?
All right, so you guys have been tremendous guests. Thank you so much for coming by and doing our podcast.
Oh,
where can people follow you? Do you have anything
you
want to shout out?
At Jimmy Schubert on Twitter and Instagram, and Jimmy Schubert
at the Shub.
At Shub is no Roop. I still carry that said. No, but Jimmy Schubert. Schubert spelled S-H-U-B-E-R-T, just like the theater. There's no C in it. And don't fucking spell it with a C. It's a pet peeve. So JimmySchubert.com. You can find all. People always go, I can't find you. Because I go, well, just fucking take
I love how you actually made another rhyme for that.
Yeah.
Like, you're good at that.
I am. That's how I do it.
Alrighty. So what about you, Matt?
At Matt Edgar on my main shit's Instagram, 1T and Matt.
Yeah, just MAT. It looks like mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Edgar. A quick glance.
Now, do you do the Twitter too, Matt, as well?
Yeah, but I'm not as active.
Yeah, it's
mostly retweeting gigs and shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of hate.
But
Twitter.
I have fun with Instagram.
I love Instagram too.
And Austin, where can people follow you?
The Austin Walker on everything. The Austin Walker.
Okay, great.
The Austin, not
the
not,
one and only.
The one and only.
That was my high school nickname because I was class president 3 out of my 4 years.
See,
oh shit!
No, a real class president.
He immediately started calling bullshit. Like, yeah. You class president?
No, but
I don't see it.
I don't think you got what it takes.
But the color money thing was a good thing.
Wow, well, you guys were so awesome, and thank you very much. I've been Felicia Michaels. Please do us a favor. Our YouTube is very active these days, and you can catch us wherever you go for your podcasting needs.
I'm at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. Yes, subscribe to our YouTube page, please. We also have a Patreon. You can find that in any of the descriptions. That'd be great if somebody would donate.
Good plug.
Confidence.
Yeah, and you've been lied to.